There is a verb that has entered the modern lexicon. I'm not sure it's made it into modern dictionaries, but people use it all the time. It is the verb to Google. As in, I heard my wife say to my daughter, "I was looking for a recipe for so-and-so, and so I Googled it." Now, Google, as you all know, is a search engine on the web. And in truth, there are a variety of search engines, but Google dominates 75% of the search engine market. Why? I found an article that explained it. It said, if you go to other search engines and you enter a topic, you will find hundreds of words. Whereas if you enter a topic with Google, you only find just a few words. Google has dominated the market because it is the simplest search engine to use. Our Lord was a genius at simplifying what seems to be complicated things. And the Pharisees, one of their attorneys, thought he had found a question with which he could entrap our Lord in a flummoxing, perplexing question. "Teacher, what is the greatest of all the laws?" Now understand, Jesus and this Pharisee lived in a society that was circumscribed, every aspect of life defined by 613 religious laws. To choose the greatest law out of 613 laws seemed an impossible question. The lawyer knew he couldn't do it. He didn't think Jesus could do it either. But Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." Jesus boiled 613 laws down to two simple principles. He said to this man, "You want to know the greatest law? So orient your life around the values of God. So connect to God with your being that you focus your energies, that you arrange your priorities, that you allow your mind to be dedicated to the divine. And if your emotions and your priorities and your intellect are oriented around the divine, then your being will be completely open to the will and desire of God. And if you have done those things, then that faith will evince itself in a faith that connects to other people. And you will love others as you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Upon that, all of the law, all of the prophets, everything is founded." Simplicity. Our Lord knew that many of the laws in that 613 were dedicated to keeping the Sabbath holy. But the laws had proliferated to such an extent that trying not to break a law on the Sabbath had become almost an intolerable burden. And Jesus says, "That's crazy. The Lord intended the Sabbath, created the Sabbath to be a blessing. It's meant to be a benefit. But our laws have turned it into a burden. We have reached such a stage of warped religiosity that it's even wrong to do good on the Sabbath, to heal on the Sabbath,
to save a life on the Sabbath. That's crazy. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made as a blessing for man. Simplicity. Jesus knew that many of those laws were fixated on the issue of ritual purity. What foods are kosher? What foods are profane? Whom can you touch? When can you touch them and still be undefiled? All kinds of laws related to those issues of purity. And Jesus said, this is crazy. It doesn't matter what you put in your mouth. That's not what defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. When you give utterance to thoughts and words that are contrary to the kingdom of God. Simplicity. Have you ever stopped to think? Our Lord left no book of sermons. He left no manifesto. He authored no autobiography. What was our Lord's legacy to us? The church. And how did he begin the church? By recruiting a very small band of people and connecting to them and teaching them to connect to him and to connect to God. And then he taught them how to go out and connect to another small group of people, who in turn could connect to another small group of people, who in turn could connect to another small group of people. And in that simple fashion, the movement known as Christianity transformed the world. They did not focus on what they did not have. They focused on what they had. Each other. Connecting to each other and connecting to God. One day Jesus gave that small group of disciples a little exam. Who do you say that I am? Now remember, this small group of people he collected, they were not geniuses. They were not the elite. They were as ordinary as you and I, and maybe even a grade below us. But one of those fishermen answered for the group. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. We who try to turn our faith into a complex series of questions and assertions, if we can simply answer that one test on the final exam, who do you say that I am? If we can answer in genuine faith, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you are fit material for the kingdom of God. You are fit material to be a servant of the living Lord. Simplicity. Our Lord recognized, as he sent his people out into the world to connect and to serve, he was giving them a very large task. He was saying to them, when you go out to connect to people, when you go out to minister to their need in my name, you are going to find that it is a task that drains you emotionally, physically, sometimes even financially. There are going to be times when you are trying to serve and connect to others that the task seems so overwhelming, so impossible, that you're going to want to say, is it worth it? Are these people worth it? And so Jesus offered a simple principle to his ambassadors, his emissaries. He said, when you go out into the world, when you feed the hungry, when you clothe the naked, when you include the outcast, when you minister to the oppressed, look upon their face as you were looking upon my face. For when you've done it to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Simplicity. When you go out as a servant of Christ, look upon those you seek to serve as if they have the very face of Christ. Simplicity. You can boil the Christian life down to four main themes. Just four. Connecting to God. Connecting to each other as we seek to connect to God. Going out into the world to connect to those who need to connect to God. And serving the needs of the human community as if every face bears the face of Christ. If you're trying to gauge the genuine nature of your Christian faith, you can ask yourself those four questions. Am I really connecting to God? Am I really connecting to others as we're trying to connect to God? Am I truly going out to try to connect to those who need to connect to God? And am I ministering to the needs of the world as if I were ministering to the needs of Christ? Four simple themes define what we're meant to do, how we're meant to practice our faith. You know, when you think about it, our Lord didn't tell us a lot of stuff that we would really be interested in. He didn't say much about heaven. He didn't talk a lot about life after death. He didn't talk much about hell. He didn't talk about the Trinity or predestination or biblical inspiration, stuff that we've argued over for millennia. Nah. All he said was, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Simplicity. When Jesus talks about God, do you ever find him throwing words around like omnipotent and omnipresent and ubiquitous and omniscient? No. Jesus says, you want to know what God is like? A shepherd who has 100 sheep, loses one of them, and he's so concerned he leaves the 99 and goes and hunts and hunts and hunts until he finds that one lost sheep, and then he throws a party. You want to know what God is like? God is like a woman who keeps a somewhat messy house, and she loses one coin that she prizes, and then she cleans that house and arranges it until she finds that one, and then she throws a party. You want to know what God is like, said Jesus? God is like a parent who allows his child to go off into the far country and renounce everything the father holds dear. And he waits in patient love for that child to come back to his true self. And when he returns full of contrition and remorse and shame, that father runs to him, throws dignity to the wind, claps him to his breast, and welcomes him back. My son who was dead is now alive, and he throws a lavish party. You want to know what God is like, said Jesus? He's like a shepherd who hunts for a lost sheep, a woman who hunts for a lost coin, a father who waits for a lost child. That's all you need to know. Simplicity. Years ago, Karl Barth who is the greatest theologian of the 20th century and probably the greatest theologian of the last 500 years. He made a much anticipated visit to America late in his life. And as he was touring, naturally, some reporter wanted to pin him onto the board and say, Dr. Bart, what is the most profound theological truth you have ever discovered? Now understand something. Karl Barth's books fill a whole shelf in my library. He literally wrote more than 1 million words about God. So everybody's pinned to hear the words of this great theologian, this profound man. And his answer is, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The most profound theologian in the last 500 years boiled his faith and his understanding of God down to one sentence. Jesus loves me. Simplicity. Are we connecting to God? Are we in our faith connecting to each other as we seek together to connect to God? Are we going out into the world to find people who need to connect to God and bringing them into the banquet table? And are we ministering to the needs of the human community as if we were ministering to the needs of Christ? John boiled our faith down to one sentence. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, should not perish but enjoy eternal life. Now that is a very accessible truth. But even though it is accessible, fathoming its full depth takes a lifetime of faith. But if we keep before our eyes Jesus' twin principles, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbors as you would love yourself, then each of us is on the pathway to discovering the richness and the profundity of the kingdom of God. May we pray together.